Hey, Google, what is the chief end of man?
Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever.
Yeah, I'm on a mission like a couple spies, and that, guys, is the reason why I catechize.
Welcome to the Reform Standard. I'm Tony. Let's get started. Question 58 of the Westminster Larger Catechism reads, how do we come to be made partakers of the benefits which Christ hath procured? The answer is, we are made partakers of the benefits which Christ hath procured by the application of them unto us, which is the work especially of God the Holy Spirit. We talked about in our Nicene Creed series that the external works of the Trinity are undivided or indivisible. And so we must not understand this to say that the application of the work that Christ procured or the benefits that Christ procured is only the work of the Holy Spirit. But it is appropriate to say that it is especially the work of the Holy Spirit. And so this brings up an idea that is common in theology, particularly in Reformed theology, that talks about the termination of work in the ad extra works of the Trinity. And so, as I said, it's not the case that when one of the divine persons acts, that they act alone, because the external works of the Trinity or the works of the Trinity that are oriented outside of the Trinity. So that's almost everything that we see in Scripture is a work that's oriented outside of the Trinity, that work, that singular work, is undivided. But the Scripture still speaks to us in ways where a particular work is associated with a particular person. And so we can see that the work of creation is particularly associated with the Father. Although we do see in John 1, in Colossians 1, in Hebrews 1, that the world was created through the Son or by the Son, we also see that the Holy Spirit was involved in that. We see that the work of the Father in creation is highlighted. Likewise, the work of redemption or the work of justification is particularly the work of the Son. Now, that works a little differently because it involves his human nature, which is not part of the ad extra indivisibility, but still is associated in certain ways. And then here we see that the application of that redemption is particularly the work of the Holy Spirit. So we often divide this up in theology to say that the Father is the originator of a work, the Son is the one who executes that work, and then the Holy Spirit is the one that applies that work to God's people. So we might talk about in creation that the Father is the architect of creation, the Son is the one who executes that plan that the Father made, and then the Holy Spirit is the one that brings that to perfection. And so when we look at Genesis 1, we see that it's the Father who spoke the Word, and the Word is the one who created, or the Word is the active agency of creation, and then the Holy Spirit hovers over this creation to bring it to perfection or fruition. But we shouldn't understand that to say that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit did different work, but it is appropriate to talk about their particular role in work that is indivisible. And so here this is focused specifically on the benefits which Christ procured for us in redemption. The Westminster Shorter Catechism specifically talks about redemption, but this question is expanded to make it clear that all of the benefits of the covenant of grace, which the Son obtained by his mediation in question 57, all of those benefits are applied to us by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so again, in redemption, the Father plans establishes the plan of salvation, the Son executes the plan of salvation, and the Holy Spirit applies the plan of salvation. And so this is the case with all of the different benefits of redemption, which the Catechism thus far has not clearly laid out, but we're talking about things particularly of justification, adoption, sanctification, and glorification. And so we can talk about how the father adopts us in the Son and by the Holy Spirit. So it's the Father's decree that we will become children of God. It's the Son who obtains, right, John 1:12, who obtains the right for us to become children of God. And then it's the Holy Spirit who actually brings about the effect of us becoming the children of God. And you go through a similar exercise with justification, which we already talked about, sanctification, right? The Father decrees that his people will be holy even as he is holy. The Son purchases and accomplishes what is necessary to bring about that change, and then the Holy Spirit executes that change in the life of God's people. So this is an important question because it lays out in some of its implications here. It lays out that Trinitarian model of redemption, that Trinitarian model of God's work by isolating or by emphasizing that it's the Holy Spirit here who applies to us all of the benefits which Christ procured in his mediation.
Do you know if you want you could know this? The catechism, hey, the catechism, hey. Do you know what the chief and the man is? And how the Father, Son, and Spirit do manage? Do you know if you want you could know this?
West Side.